Tour Junkies.
What's going on, golf addicts? Thanks for downloading the Tour Junkies Fantasy Golf Podcast. This is easily one of the episodes Pat and I are most excited about, with Bob Parsons, the founder of PXG, also founder of GoDaddy. Bob is an amazing, amazing interview, a great marketing mind, and definitely flipping the golf equipment industry on its head. And this guy gave us about 40 minutes of his time, and we greatly appreciate it. We are so interested in what he's doing at PXG. Hope you guys enjoy it. We even take Bob through the native area, and for our listeners who know what that's about, you know that's going to be a lot of fun. This episode is brought to you by Swing Caddy. Swing Caddy is the thing you guys need if you're trying to get better at actual golf. If you don't have the $20,000 for a TrackMan, Swing Caddy is about the size of an iPhone. It can fit in your bag. You put it behind your ball. It'll tell you the carry distance, your swing speed, your clubhead speed, smash factor, and a lot of other things. It's a great, great tool to practice on the range as well. It'll call out yardages for you. You try to hit to the yardage, and it'll tell you whether you were successful or not. It's just a fantastic tool. And we've partnered with the guys at Swing Caddy. So if you go to tourjunkies.net, look at the top of the page, click on the Swing Caddy link. You can learn a lot more about it. And if you order through that link, type in Tour Junkies, all one word, in the promo code at checkout, and you can get the Swing Caddy for $290 instead of $350. So for only $290, you can have a mini portable TrackMan. It's even been tested by Golf Spy, and it's a very competitive product. So check that out at the website, tourjunkies.net. Once again, we appreciate you downloading the podcast. Hope you enjoy the show with Bob Parsons, and may your screens be green. What is up, golf addicts? It's David Barnett of the Tour Junkies. I've got Pat Perry with me. And we have an exclusive interview with the gentleman we have really been wanting to have on the podcast for a long time now. And it's really the first type of interview we've ever done like this. We've had players before. We've had caddies before. We have never had a gentleman like Mr. Bob Parsons, who is on the line with us. How are you, Bob? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Man, we are excited to have you. So if you don't know, I explained in the intro, Bob Parsons, founder and innovator behind the PXG golf brand that is really making some big waves. But he's also done a lot of stuff other than PXG, primarily serving in our United States Marine Corps and in the Vietnam War, and recipient of the Purple Heart. And Mr. Parsons, we appreciate your service. My father actually served in the Vietnam War as well, and I know a lot of times you guys don't get the appreciation, and I know you do a lot to give back to our veterans, so I know that's something you're very proud of, and we appreciate your service for that as well. Also, started GoDaddy, which is a pretty big deal. TourJunkies.net is actually registered on GoDaddy, and I know you don't have quite as much involvement into GoDaddy now, but that was a big deal, a big thing in your life. But I know a lot of our listeners who are golf addicts want to hear about PXG, and you know, I know you probably told the story 1,000 times, but why don't you give us a quick rundown on why you started PXG?
Well, what happened was I had I have always been a golf aficionado, and so I mean, I would play golf when others wouldn't. Wouldn't matter if it was raining, if it was a little dark, if it was cold, whatever. If I swing a club, I was there.
Yeah.
And I've also always been a middle of the road golfer. I'd never get through Q school. I got to tell you that right now. matter of fact, I'd never get to Q school. So what I always noticed was if I had the right equipment, I play a little better. So when I got to the point in my life where I started making some money, what I would do is I would buy and try different golf equipment. And in addition to doing that, I would buy books. I would look at the science behind golf equipment, the ballistics, the metallurgy, the aerodynamics, all those things that go together, and I got to the point where I learned a lot about it, and second, I would spend anywhere from, I always said I'd spend $250,000 a year on golf equipment. And when I started PXG, what I did was I pulled all the bills that I could think of that had to do with purchasing golf equipment the year before I did that, and I stopped counting to 350,000.
Jeez.
So I spent a lot of money on golf equipment, but I got to know everything. And one of the things that I realized was that when you purchase most golf equipment, it doesn't deliver on the promise. Rarely it does. For example, like drivers. You know, this driver's 10 yards longer than the previous one, 20 yards longer. You know, and I started playing golf in my 30s, and I'm 66 now. If that was true every year, I'd be hitting the ball about a mile and a half.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, of course, my driving distance hadn't changed hardly at all, so what's that tell you? Anyhow, you know, that's kind of the genesis. And what happened was I had some conversations with a engineer at Ping. His name is Mike Nicolette. He got to be friends of mine, or a friend of mine. And in talking with Mike, I asked Mike, I said, Mike, how come you guys don't do a better job of, and when I said you guys, I meant all companies. I wasn't singling out Ping. Ping's a good company. Ping's a good company, in my opinion. But anyhow, what he said was, the reason the equipment isn't better than it is first, they have a lot of cost constraints. They have to engineer to a specific selling price, and so they can only spend so much money on the development, and they have to have the product ready at a certain time. So they've got a lot of constraints that they operate under. And one of the questions I asked him, I said, Mike, suppose you didn't have any constraints. You could spend whatever you wanted to spend. You can, not only can you spend whatever you want to spend, you can go ahead and take however long, you know, time you want to take and so forth. Would that make a difference? He goes, that'd make a huge difference. I said, how'd you like to work under that type of situation? He said, I'd love it. And I said, I'll tell you what. I will start the company. You come to work for me. And first of all, the only constraint that we'll have is that the clubs have got to outperform anything made. He said, well, how will you know that? I said, well, you'll hit it the first time and you'll know it if they're engineered right. So anyhow, he said, well, I can't leave Ping. I don't want to leave Ping. But with me, you know, I've been there for a long time. And he left my office, and I told the guy who's my COO, I said, I'll hear from Mike within 2 months. Well, I heard from him within a month. And we went ahead, put BXG together. And for the first year, I also had some other engineers follow him. For the first year, we went ahead and they had a agreement not to compete with Ping, so they couldn't really do any design work. So I had them do all kind of silly stuff. I had them try to make a golf ball. You know, we didn't have any luck there. You know, good luck beating a Pro V, either one of them. We went ahead, and I mean, they were doing stuff like seeing how far they could hit a golf ball with a frying pan on the end of a 6-foot shaft off a 3-foot tee. Well, the answer to that's 400 yards. I don't know what good that's ever going to do me, but I mean, we figured it out. And on and on and on. And then when the time came up, you know, they came into my office and they had a legal pad and they said, well, Bob, tell us what your idea of the club you want is. And I said, well, first, I want something that looks like a blade, a little oversized, has a little offset. I want it to be gorgeous. It's got to launch higher. It's got to go further without goosing the loft. And it's got to be more forgiving than a cavity back. And it's got to have a sweet spot the size of Texas.
Yeah.
So they said, is that it? I said, you do that, you got something. So anyhow, you know, went to work to do that. And, I mean, we had a number of iterations where, you know, it would be, the club would go like hell, like shit. You know, stuff yeah. like that. Or we made a three wood that, you know, once you hit it, the thing would go off the planet. The second time, the face would collapse. So we made a disposable three wood. I got to tell you, there's no market for that. But eventually, these guys called me one day and they said, Bob, we've had a breakthrough. Oh, what a breakthrough it was. And what we did was we hollowed out the club and we injected the thermoplastic elastomer in the cavity. And we went with a very ultra-thin face. And we did a bunch of other stuff, too. I mean, the iron is triple forged. The tungsten weights you see around the perimeter of the iron. We have more in those tungsten weights than our competitors have in their whole product. What a breakthrough it was, and the rest is, well, here we are now.
It's phenomenal. It's such a great story. I love that you are as much a golf junkie as we are, and as a lot of people around the, you know, around the world who just fall in love with this game. So we wanted to ask you a couple of like leadership and business questions, because Pat and I, we do this on the side. Like, this is something we started because we were passionate about it, and it's just kind of taken off from there. But we have real jobs, right? And we're both in the business world. And we have a lot of listeners that are in the same way. They listen to us on their commute, going to and from their office. And I feel like you have some stuff to share with us. So I thought about there's two things in play right here. Number one is you're working around an industry with golf that is very stuck in its ways. It's very old school. It's very it lacks innovation. Not a whole lot of new strategies and new things. Whether you're talking about golf equipment or the PGA Tour or golf courses around the country and what they do to bring in new players, things like that. But you have stepped out and you're doing things differently, and you're leading a revolution in golf equipment, if you will. You've been that change agent. Whether, you know, I feel like you probably did the same thing with GoDaddy, and I remember, you know, your marketing strategies at GoDaddy being quite controversial but highly effective, right? And now with PXG and the kind of aura around PXG. And how you're leading that change, like, how do you do that? If you're speaking to a business person, or you're speaking to somebody like us who's in the golf world too, and we're trying to lead change and make things different and make things fun, and like, how do you do that if you're in a world, in an industry that's stuck? What are some things that people need to remember, people need to put into practice?
You know, one of the first things you do is ignore what everybody tells you. Because most of the people that give you advice, you know, for example, I was told with GoDaddy that I had a bad name on the company. I needed to change it. Well, that was definitely bad advice. I was told with GoDaddy not to enter the domain name business because there was already a number of domain name companies. I ignored that. And the reason I ignored that is because all the domain name companies that I was aware of had terrible price, high pricing, terrible service systems that didn't work, on and on and on and on. And I was also told that our commercials were too racy. But
right.
The domain name business is about as exciting as a cup of sawdust, and you needed something to differentiate you. So anyhow, I mean, you know, that worked like a charm. I made a couple $1 billion off that decision. As far as PXG is concerned, I was told that people will never buy high priced equipment like we're going to make. I mean, I was told by a number of people that was a mistake. Stay out of the golf business. And so, you know, normally when everybody tells you that, you know, you ought to probably move ahead and do it. Now, you know, the golf industry right now, golf equipment industry, is pretty depressed, and people would say, why would you enter a market that's depressed, and, you know, with this idea you have? Well, to me, I can't think of a better time, and the reason is the market is so depressed that if you do something that is revolutionary, it's going to get noticed. And what we did was we came out and we launched golf's first luxury brand, in my mind. Certainly from the U.S. perspective. And by doing that, and having the clubs actually do everything we said they would and more, I mean, we took it by storm.
So, absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, there you go. I mean, you know, it's dare to be different. You know, one of the other things that I do, you know, I own Scottsdale National, which is probably one of the premier golf properties in the country. And, it's not very well known, but it will be very well known. It's got 45 holes of golf. It's pristine and so forth. And one of the things that I'm very proud of, we have no rules. No rules. You know, our rules book says there are no rules. So it's easy to remember them.
Well, that's actually, you're getting ahead of us. That's actually a question we have for you. I love that. Like, I've heard about the no rules. You basically say if it makes you happy and you're on the golf course, then you do it. And we love that. Like, so what are some of the funny things? Like, what are some funny things that people do out there? Or maybe some quirky things that have happened out there?
Well, you know, David, I can't think of any, but I can tell you. You'll have something like somebody will wind up at the club. And they'll be in jeans. And They, you know, so they'll play golf in jeans. Or they'll use their cell phone all the time. Or be on a tape talking on their phone. Well, it doesn't bother us because our membership's so low. We don't have a T-sheet. There's very rarely you'll have someone in front of you or in back of you. You won't even see anybody else. I mean, this is the way golf is intended to be played. And so, you know, what they do is, you know, some of the quirky things, I wouldn't know because I'm never there to see them.
Well, and I mentioned in the intro about the bad little nine, which is your par three, where you basically challenge your designer to make it the most difficult nine holes on the planet as far as a par three. Has anyone broken par yet?
You know, we have one guy break par, and it was James Hahn. But what James did though, he went ahead and played two balls on each hole, right, and got to know the nuances for that particular day, and went ahead and shot one under par. And my deal is, you shoot under par, I don't care if you're a pro or what, on challenge day, I'll give you $1,000 credit on your par tab. Well, I asked James after I caught wind of what he did. I said, first, congratulations. Second, I have a question. I said, when you play in the Masters every day, does Augusta let you play two balls on every hole first, just to kind of get used to it? He said, no. And I said, well, we don't either. You're disqualified.
That's awesome. Well, getting back to a quick leadership/business perspective, who's somebody that's had the biggest influence on your life in that regard, and how did they influence you?
Well, you know, I would say, first of all, be my father. And my father was not a successful businessman. What he wound up doing when he retired was he managed the furniture department for a company that existed back then called Montgomery Wards. But he used to tell me a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, some of the stuff he would tell me about selling product and pricing it, one of them is, you know, you can shear a sheep many times, you can only skin it once. Mm-hmm. Another one was, he goes, you know, you do what you love. When you love something, it tells you all its secrets. And, you know, he said, you know, one of the most important things to look for, he told me, in a girlfriend and other people, he says, you know, hang around people that like you.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, that kind of covers the intro portion of our podcast here. I'm going to let Pat put you into a segment, and I'll let him explain it. We're going to have a little fun with you now, if that's good.
All right, that's fine with me, brother. Let's do it.
Okay, all right. So, Bob, this little area we call the native area. So what that is, I'm going to give you a little background, is we obviously follow the PGA Tour, and when you're looking at the PGA Tour app, and you're following along with a player, sometimes they will hit it into the native area. And so you never know what you're going to get. You don't know what your lie is going to look like. Is it going to be buried? You know, are you going to be able to even see your ball? So that's kind of what these questions are going to be like. You're not going to know what you're going to get. They're going to be pretty quick hitters. Now, I will tell you this. You can elect to pass if you want to, but we've never had a tour player or anybody else that's been on the show pass. So I'm just throwing that out there, but you can pass if you want.
So if I pass twice, I'm like way ahead of everybody.
That's right. All right. So here we go. How much money is in your wallet on average? So cash.
How much money? I usually carry a couple thousand.
Okay. It's about like me. Yeah. Favorite course you've played that's not your course?
Favorite course is played. You know, I like a course outside of San Diego called Steel Canyon. I had a good time there. Pebble Beach is tough not to like. Augusta National. Augusta National is a lot of fun. I'd say that'd be about it.
Okay. Well, and we didn't mention, I don't think, that we're from Augusta, so we obviously like that. But all right. Do Bill Gates and Warren Buffett play PhD?
Do they? I don't know. They might.
Okay.
And if they do, I hope they each bought about 5 cents.
All right. So how many times do you wear a pair of socks before you throw them away?
You know, I don't know. And I'll tell you why. I have a housekeeper. And I have all my socks are exactly the same, and they rotate. And when they start looking a little ratty, she hucks them and replaces them. So you want me to get her up here?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she can give us some more insight into your socks. So you basically just never know when your socks are gone.
No, I don't know. I mean, you know, if I rip them up or something, you know, I toss them right then and there. But it's just something I don't think about.
All right, here's another one here. All right, so have you ever tried virtual reality? And if so, did it suck because it's worse than your actual reality?
Virtual reality? You know, I never have. I got a set of virtual reality goggles here, but I've never gotten around to hooking them up to seeing what it's like. I mean, you know, it sounds like it'd be kind of cool, but, you know, the problem is you get this thing and, you know, it's a big open area and, you know, you start feeling good, you run right into a wall.
So you don't think it would be any better than your actual reality, right?
No, I don't. I mean, Christ, I hope not.
All right. Any superstitions on the golf course?
Any superstitions?
Or in business.
You know, normally, if I'm a couple strokes ahead of somebody on a hole, I don't mind doubling the bet. I'm superstitious like that.
Okay. All right. If you could punch any celebrity in the face without consequence, who would it be?
Nobody. I wouldn't hit anybody in the face for any reason. Particularly a celebrity. Some of them get under my skin, but, you know, hey, this is America, Jack, right? You can do that.
That's right. All right. Other than golf clubs and motorcycles, what's something else do you collect?
Golf clubs and motorcycles, something I collect. Well, I'm an avid reader, and so I tend to read quite a bit. I collect books. I used to collect hardcover books until the Kindle and the iPad come out. Now I just have it loaded with electronic books. But that'd be what I do.
So a Raiders fan, you got Marshawn Lynch coming over this year. You got good quarterback. So I don't know, the Raiders are on the up and up.
So why do you say I'm a Raiders fan? How can you make such a statement?
Isn't that what you just said? I'm a Raider?
No, he said he's a reader, Pat.
Oh, a reader. I thought you said a Raiders fan.
Oh, my
fan.
God.
Yeah. Come on, Pat. I'm a Ravens fan, baby. I'm a Raven maniac. I'm from Baltimore.
All right. Okay. Well, good. good.
Yeah.
Bob, you have to forgive Pat. I make fun of him a lot. He's the old guy on the show for us, and so sometimes his hearing isn't all that great.
We
apologize.
You come stand next to me, Pat. I don't hear what's a damn either.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, these phones sometimes can't hear correctly. But all right, I got a couple more, and then I'm going to let David close us out. What is your go-to bet on the golf course?
I like to play a game called Sweat for 100 a point. And the way Sweat works, it's kind of like Skins, but the only difference is anybody can double the bet anytime they want, as often as they want, until a ball's in the hole. So I could double, 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 and the person being doubled can decline it and just bait a bet and where it stands. Or they can accept it, but the nuance in Sweat is if they accept it with the double, they get a half a stroke. So if I double you, let's say, well, I call it a roll. If I roll you, you get a half. I'm giving you a half a stroke if you take that bet. And if I double you again, you get another half stroke, which is a full stroke. So that's the game of Sweat, and I love it.
I will definitely have to try that. David, that'll be our next game, okay? There we go.
Now, you know, when you're on the first tee, the one thing that I'm keenly aware of is if I don't know who the pigeon is, maybe it's me.
All right, so my last question here, and then I'm going to let David close us out with a few. Who was your first concert, as far as like a music concert? Who was the last one? And who would you like to see that you haven't yet?
Who would I like to see? Who was the first one? Wow, the first one. Well, I'll tell you what, during Woodstock, I mean, I'd have been there, but I was in Vietnam carrying a rifle. My rifle was the only Woodstock I knew. I think early on, yeah, I don't even remember who the first concert was. I think the last concert that I seen was Christina Aguilera, and she was excellent. Who would I like to see that I haven't seen already? I'd like to see Justin Timberlake perform. I heard he put on one hell of a show. And the other guy that I'd like to see just right with him is Darius Rucker. Is another guy that puts on a hell of a show.
If you come to Augusta for the Masters, Darius Rucker performs every Tuesday night right down the street from us at Rockford. He sings Yeah, he sings his old Hootie and the Blowfish songs and everything. It's awesome. He's here every year.
And I'll tell you what, both of them, Justin Timberlake and Darius Rucker, are avid golfers. And you know what clubs they play, brother?
PXG.
Yeah, baby.
All right. All right, I'm going to wrap us up here with a few more, and then we'll let you go. So name three things that you hate.
Number one is meetings. I hate them. Number two is Brussels sprouts. And I can't tell you number three.
Okay.
I mean, there is a number three. I don't even mind slow play. I'm one of these guys that's not too much bothered.
That's good.
So, you know what? Yeah, number three, I hate shanking a ball. I hate it. Like, it's worse than being in between the sheets. I think even now in this age of political correctness, it's no longer permissible to say the S word, shank. You have to say hazel rocket.
Yeah, it's a taboo word for sure. That's good. All right, when's the last time you've flown commercial?
Last time I flown commercial was I went to Africa and you fly to Los Angeles, then you go to Frankfurt, then you go to Johannesburg, then you come over to land in Victoria Falls.
How long ago was that?
That's 23 hours in the air. That was in 2011.
Nice. All right, so I have a funny thing to ask you. You may be able to conjure this up, maybe not. So we have a friend, and his name is Dan, and when he's in the airport, he likes to play a fun game. He likes to, if he sits down by someone or they strike up a conversation with him either at a bar or waiting on the flight or once he gets in the airplane, and they talk, you know, so what do you do? What do you, where you go? Why are you going here? He likes to make up a story, and he refers to himself, he gives him a fake name and a fake story just to have some fun. He says his name is Dan Saran. And and then they'll say, you mean like Saran Wrap? And he said, yeah, actually my grandfather actually started Saran Wrap. And then as the story proceeds, he tells him how much he hates the Reynolds family for Reynolds Wrap. And he makes up this big elaborate story, making himself out to be like this wealthy, wealthy individual flying on, flying commercial for the first time. He likes to have a good time. So our question is, if you were to reverse that, like if you're flying commercial and the guy next to you is asking you about who you are and you for some reason don't want to get into who you are and what all you've done and you just want to do like a normal story, what would that look like? What would you be?
First, you know, I do it all the time. I'll tell them my name is Bob. And if somebody asks me, they go, well, what do you do for a living? I always say the same thing. I tell them I'm a tomato salesman.
What? Okay. All right,
and they'll always say, can you make money selling tomatoes? I said, if you sell a lot of them, you can.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't think you'd have an actual story. That's good. I thought you'd like say I'm like an insurance salesman or something, just kind of put them off. But that's good.
No, I like tomato salesmen.
That's awesome. All right, so what's something you spend your money on that most people would be shocked to hear you spend your money on?
Shocked to hear that I spend my money. Well, you know, I don't really have anything. I mean, I give a lot of money away.
Yep.
We've been giving money away we give money to charity at the rate of $1 million every 10 or 20 days.
Wow.
And so most of the money I make, I give away. The other thing that I spend money on is motorcycles. I just love them. A matter of fact, I'll tell you what, yesterday I was over at my dealership, and I bought 6 motorcycles.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I see you posted some pictures of your Twitter.
Hey, well, my wife said, how come you bought 6 motorcycles? I said, because I bought 5 and then decided to buy one more.
Nice. All right, speaking of your wife, Renee, everyone knows they have one annoying habit. If they don't, then they're clearly not married. So what would Renee say is your annoying habit?
Well, my annoying habit is I'm always busy doing something. I'm a real high-energy guy. You know, it's like yesterday I decided, I mean, it's hotter than the blaze. It's about 110 degrees here. I mean, it's so hot right now that Satan has left town. He's up in Denver. He'll be back in September. I went ahead and started hitting golf balls, and she's waiting for me to come home for dinner. She went ahead and had it without me. I hit 500 balls.
Good God.
And so I made stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You're always doing something. I like it. What is the true value of having a .com versus a .net?
Well, first of all, both work, but the value of having a .com over a .net is .com has a mind share. People, when you think an internet address, you know, they add in their mind instantly because it's got the mind share. They think, well, .com. I mean, you know, like an internet company will refer to themselves as a .com. You ever heard any of them refer to themselves as a .net?
only the guys you're talking to right now.
There you go.
Yeah, we've been wrestling with this debate for a while. We bought, when we first started and we had $0 to our name, we bought ThorJunkies.net because ThorJunkies.com was not available. It was for sale and still is over there on GoDaddy. So we have .net, and we've been debating recently on buying the .com. So we figured who better to ask
than the guy who started GoDaddy on where the true value lies. So,
yeah, I'll step up for that. It.
Yeah, maybe we'll.
Don't
maybe
you
we'll
know the reason is you'll always be able to sell it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We'll let you know if we pull the trigger.
You know, the .NET, not so much.
Yeah. So you kind of alluded to this earlier. Will PXG have a golf ball?
I don't know. That's a business I don't want to get into. You know, if you get into it, the golf ball business, there's really no angle that I can see that I take. Like, first of all, you know, could I engineer something that would compete with the top balls yet sell at a very low price? Well, if I did that, that goes against my brand. You know, that's not what we do. So the answer to that would be a resounding no. That's not a business I want to get into.
Nice. All right, last question. We have had one of your PXG soldiers on the podcast, and that is Billy Horschel. If we had another one, who do you? And now that you've completed, by the way, you're through the native area, Mr. Parsons, and you did not decline a question. So congratulations to you. Thank you. If you had to pick another PXG soldier that you think would be a great guest for the Tour Junkies podcast native area, who do you think that would be?
Good guess, huh? Well, you know, I had a little story I got to tell you. You got time for a Billy Horschel story?
Absolutely.
All right, okay. Well, you know, I always tell Billy that when it comes to putting, one of my favorite lines is that I try to remind myself is that, you know, you can't win a farting contest unless you're willing to shit in your pants. So I said that to Billy one time. I said, Billy, are you ready to shit in your pants? And he goes, I'm always willing to shit in my pants. I said, go get him, buddy.
Oh, God. That's great. Billy was a really good guest on our show. We interviewed him in the fall, I believe. And last fall he was great. He was really good.
The other guy you ought to have on, and he's got his own show with Michael Collins, is Pat Perez. Pat would do your show. And you know, I was interviewed not too long ago by Golf Digest, and you know, when we signed him, and he said, you know, Pat's got kind of a reputation on tour. And I would think because of that, you and him get along. I said, absolutely we do. I said, now, Pat's kind of like a little brother to me. I said, now, make no mistake, a bad little brother, but he's like my little brother.
Yeah, he seems like a great guy. We've had Michael Collins on the show, too. He's a good one. He's a lot of fun to have. I feel like if he repped broadcasters, Michael Collins would be like the best. He would be the best.
I'll tell you what, and Michael Collins could put a big eclair away, boy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, and if PXG ever decides to rep a podcast, we want you guys. We're coming to you. I know you guys don't make a habit of coming to players, but we're coming to you if you're ever getting into the podcast repping business. We'd love to do it. We love the brand, love what you're doing, love the advertising and the marketing strategy you guys use. If we ever make it out to Scottsdale, we definitely want to come by and see the headquarters there at PXG.
Oh, man, come on by. You are invited.
Thank you. One last thing I was going to have you do, if you want to tell our listeners a little bit about the Bob and Renee Parsons Foundation. We always leave our guests who do charitable work a little time at the end to talk to our folks on how they could get involved.
Well, first of all, what we do is we don't raise outside money at all. We just use our own money. I mean, we're the only donors in the fund. I mean, one of the biggest problems we had in the past couple of years is somebody gave us a donation check of $500. We know what the hell to do with it. But anyhow, we figured it out, gave it to Free Arts for Abused Children in their name. But what we do is our slogan for our foundation is We Deal in Hope. And as prosperous and wonderful as our country is, we have some horrific problems, and we have people that are just caught outside the American dream. And what our goal is to use whatever money we have and whatever relationships we have with other charities to help those people get to the point where they can be successful and share in the American dream, particularly little kids, particularly veterans that through combat or other accidents have had significant life-changing experiences. We want to lift them back up. That's what we do. We support causes that are not popular, that have difficulty raising money, but we believe are very worthwhile. We spend a lot of money helping, you could call them illegals or undocumented individuals, but people that are here, on the wrong side of the law. And we our whole philosophy there is, if you got a little kid and the kid is sick, this is America. Kids should receive should receive medical care, should be fed when he's hungry, and the people that are here, should be taken care of and maybe shown the way to become a citizen, if that's possible. We help people with AIDS. The biggest part of people below the income level. We help abuse kids through art therapy and other things like that. Make a wish. A big homeless or you mom homeless stuff. The Girl Scouts Leadership Center. Nobody wants to give money to the Girl Scouts. We stepped in and gave them $5 million to finish their leadership center so they can, they can learn that they're just as good as a man in every respect and in many ways better.
That's right.
Yeah, so anyhow, that's the things that we do. We'll continue to do it. I came into this world with nothing. My wife and I have signed the giving pledge to give half of whatever we make to charity. We're certainly going to do that. And the reason we signed it, we're going to give it all away. So, when we both leave this world, everything goes to charity.
Phenomenal. Mr. Parsons, I can't tell you how privileged we are to have you on the podcast. We never would have dreamed we would have had a lot of the guests that we've had on our show. And we will never have, I think Pat would agree, we will likely never have another individual like you who started not only a golf brand that we all look up to and think is interesting and innovative, but also a philanthropist, a veteran. It's an honor to talk to you. We appreciate the time that you gave the Tour Junkies podcast and our listeners. And thanks for all you do for everybody in golf and around the world.
All right, buddy. I'll tell you what. You're welcome. You take care. You guys take care, and good luck to you both, huh?